Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Rethink Real Estate. Today's episode is with Shelley Griffin. Shelley Griffin is not only the top performing salesperson for Harcourts North America, number one for 2 years running, doing well in excess of $2 million of GCI and between 80 and 100 transactions each year. Shelley is the epitome of consistency. Shelley has been in the industry for over 20 years and has always been in an upward trajectory. And the volume of business that she does is far and behold more than many people can even fathom. But the one thing that I think that we can take away from today's episode and that we can certainly take away from Shelley's attitude is how humble she is. Humble she is that not only that she's a top performer, she's also part of a partnership team at Harcourts the Garner Group, not only in Bend, Oregon, now also expanding out into Redmond and many more offices to come. She's building a network of agents and building an office that is one of the best performing offices, not only in North America, but quite possibly the world when it comes to culture and it comes to rhythm and it comes to a focus on the people. I think there's a lot to learn from Shelley, not only from what she's done to be a top performing salesperson, what she's doing along with Erica and Sarah to build a tremendous business in Central Oregon, but also how she's navigated the way of being a top performer whilst being a mum, whilst being all of those things that are just distractions where you have to continue moving forward in life. And she's taken it in stride. And Shelley is a great, great person to have on the podcast. Really looking forward to the episode. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it. Well, folks, big day on Rethink Real Estate. We've got Shelley Griffin, one of my absolute favorite people in the world. So, Shelley, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, I think that
I feel like I'm in a prison cell. Sorry about that. But I'm in a conference room, you know. So anyway,
this might be a little controversial, but I did a podcast with Jason one time, and yeah. Someone commented on YouTube, just a random person, like, it looks like he's a hostage for the Taliban. Yeah,
exactly. If I hold up a newspaper, somebody get help. Yeah.
Well, folks, as you can see, Shelley's got a great sense of humor. And one of the things that I get to enjoy is going up and seeing the three business owners of the Harcourts the Garner Group office, now offices, is that I get to laugh my absolute ass off for at least 3 or 4 days when I'm up there. It is a complete riot. And fun and laughter is certainly one of the categories that they have ticked off in a huge way.
Yeah.
Why do you guys have so much fun? There's a good question to start off with, actually.
Because real estate's really, really, really hard. And, you know, if you're not laughing, you might be crying. So it's not a good look when you're crying.
Well, no, yeah, I suppose that's right. But okay, let's dive into it though. Okay, right. Because Shelley, there's a very few people that join this podcast that have done as many transactions as you have and have been as consistent for so long. One of the things I go on and on and on about it with you is the consistency that you've had for so long. But it's the consistency of an upward trend. I guess that what is the burn? Why do you do this?
Because to me, there's really nothing more important than home and that feeling that you have or get when you are in your own home. And, you know, besides that feeling though, there's also, for most people, it's the pathway for them to their, you know, to wealth, I guess, for lack of a better term. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, owning your own home starts you on that path toward, you know, being able to, you know, put together investments and, you know, things like that lead you on your path down the road to where someday you can own your own home free and clear. You can retire. You know, it's the American dream to me anyway. And so that's why I do it.
How important is money to you?
It's important. I mean, it's pretty important because it's security, right? I mean, it definitely is. But having said that, you know, I don't need to be a gazillionaire. I just need to, for me, and I think for most people, we just need to feel like we've got that stability. And, you know, to some degree, it brings some freedom. There's other things that you have to have in your life too. It's not the be all end all, but it is helpful.
So there's people that listen, would be listening to this episode in a different stage of their career at the moment, Shelley, where, you know, after the introduction and me going through some of the numbers that you've done, they're staggering. Over how long have you been in real estate now?
21 years.
So over 21 years in the industry. And obviously it hasn't been all rainbows and sunshine and butterflies. There's no question about that. But there's people that would hear the numbers that you're doing and sort of say, I only need to do 5 years of that and then mic drop, I'm out of here.
Well, I don't know how that can be, honestly. I'm hoping for maybe just another 5 years. I don't know though, probably will be longer. But
well, this but is, yeah, so we're, yeah. Yeah, so, hard, so we're I mean, on this.
Yeah. I mean, most people are raising their family, raising their kids, you know, putting their life together. They're, you know, a lot of times younger when they start out. And, you know, if you send kids to college and you do all those kinds of things, I mean, you know, you have to put in a few years to get to where you need to be.
So I had a question I was going to end the podcast on that I think it would be appropriate now, which is, what does the future look like? Like, what is the 5-10 year plan? Like, do you you and I have spoken about it a number of times, but how did you arrive at it, and what is it?
Well, I mean, if we're just so there, I kind of have two businesses, right? I mean, I mm-hmm. have my real estate business, and then I have, you know, along with my partners, Erica and Sarah, we have Harcourts, the Garner Group. So if I just talk about my real estate business, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, I would like to think that I could, you know, maybe not fully retire, but at least be a little more removed from kind of the day to day within, you know, 5 to 7 years. That's kind of what I'm planning. And as far as Harcourts, the Garner Group goes, I mean, sky's the limit there. I mean, I don't really have a, you know, time frame yet on that. We feel like we're really in growth mode and build mode, and we have, you know, a lot more that we'd like to accomplish in that arena.
I think that this is something that when agents are listening to you, Shelley, is that having an end game where you're going to have a continued purpose in the real estate industry to drive a business forward.
Yeah.
Is that seems pretty special, because I don't think a lot of people have a good idea of what their next step would be apart from just more and sell more.
Yeah, I know. And when I, before we purchased Harcourts, the Garner Group, that was kind of a bleak thing for me to think about, was just that my entire future was just, you know, sale after sale, deal after deal. I mean, that's not a bad thing. And I'm not ungrateful for where I'm at in my career. I mean, none of that. But at some point, you just kind of need something else to think about, or something new to think about, or something exciting, more exciting to think about. And for me, it is thinking about building this company and, you know, more offices and, you know, just what more can we do in the real estate arena to not just make money. You know, that's great, but it's not all about that. A lot of it for me is about helping agents become the best agent they can be, the best people they can be, you know, all those kinds of things. So that part really gets me very excited.
What would you say to people that would be sitting there saying, that sounds like a lot of work?
Yeah. But it's not, I mean, if you love it and you have a vision for it, then yeah, it's work, but work's not a bad thing. I think that's awesome. So it's work, but it also brings me a lot of joy.
What do you do for downtime, Shelley? Because I think that this is important. This is important for people to understand. Like, you made a significant step in your downtime investment. You know, and I'll let you discuss what that is. But it's something where there's never been a time where I can't get you. There's never been a time that you're not available. There's never been a time that you're not thinking about real estate. What do you do to turn off a little bit though, or do you think that it's or do you love what you do enough that you don't think you have to turn off?
Yeah, I mean, Julia's not going to listen to this podcast, right? So, anyway, well, it is very difficult for me to turn it off. It's very difficult. And so I am trying to work on that some more. So downtime for me is, I mean, I really like when my husband and I can go to the coast and we have a house there. And so I really feel very relaxed and I get a lot of sort of rejuvenation. You know, even if we can just go there for 4 days or a week or something like that, then that really recharges my batteries in a big way. And it does for him too. And so that's good. But that's kind of, you know, I think we've got a grandchild and another one on the way. So that definitely adds another layer. And you know, we want to be able to make sure that we can see them a lot and that kind of thing too. But just doing sort of family stuff and, you know, that really recharges my battery.
I think that there's a significant downfall in my view of real estate sometimes, because Calistra and I don't have a family. You know, our family is Harcourts, you know, our baby is the company and all of that type of stuff. The one thing that I stand back and I know Calista does as well, and look at people in awe are people like yourself that have gone through the crux of this business that is all consuming, and you've raised the family, Shelley. So, but then you're on the other side of that now, where the kids are grown up, you've got grandkids now, and yet you're still just as focused, maybe if not more focused than ever. So can you talk about the struggles or what you think people that are listening at the moment that have young families that they're going through at the moment, how do they hang in there?
I mean, I feel like it doesn't take much for me to go back to the end time to that feeling of just sort of like sheer panic. I mean, when you're in a commission-based job, you know, that will light a fire in you. And so then it becomes this real struggle between, you know, how much energy you put into that versus your family. And, you know, the word balance is stupid. There's no balance, in real estate or with family. I mean, really. So you just have to really do the best that you can. But I would say that, you know, that is, I can put myself in those shoes and I can just say that, you know, you're going to have to work harder than you have ever worked before, but you can get to the other side. And it is, I mean, the one thing that's great about real estate is that there is some flexibility, you know, so there is, you know, it was, you know, easier for me to be able to go to a, you know, a track meet or a swim meet or whatever, you know, without having to get permission from a boss, so to speak. But when I was at those meets, was I maybe on my phone? Yeah, some of the time. Was I trying to put together a deal sometimes? Absolutely. But, you know, that's just the way that it is, you know?
So as you've got to the point of that now the kids are no longer at home or anything along those lines, and you and Dan are empty nesters, so to speak, obviously grandbaby in the nest now, but yeah. But how is it, how have you had to refocus, or how have you had to get used to the lack of chaos, I guess? What's that transition? No, but what's that transition like? Because I think that some people would turn around and go, well, why am I actually doing this now?
Right. Well, I just, you know, bought a company. So that helped kind of that brought a little chaos back in to the mix. So that was good. But, you know, it opened up my bandwidth a bit more once the kids were out of the house. I mean, you never stop being a parent. You know, my kids are 34 and basically 30. You know, I'll always be their mom. But, you know, it is, you know, I don't have that day-to-day struggle with, you know, kids at home. So I had that opened up my bandwidth. It opened up I was able to kind of even dream bigger than I had. And so, you know, here we are with Harcourts the Garner Group, two, well, kind of three offices. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk a little bit about your partnership and the expanse of all of that here shortly. I want to stay focused on your real estate business. Did you ever get close to quitting at any point?
No, never. I don't have any other skills. This is all I got. So
that's good. Hey, do you know what? I know that that's harsh, but it's good to hear for the community out there because I'm the same way. Like, I'm petrified of anything else outside of real estate.
Oh yeah, no. I have no desire to do anything else but this. Yeah.
So that's what really kept you, like, let's say that it's a commission-based business. Yeah. Obviously, you've done well because I think that there's a level of this and a lot of people would probably think this is an insult more than anything, but you'll understand what I'm saying when I say it, is that the level of paranoia, I have that same level of paranoia. Is that fair to say that that keeps you going from a financial perspective?
Yes. 1,000,000%. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I didn't go to college. I didn't graduate from college with any degree or anything like that. And I don't think that, you know, necessarily, I don't think you have to have a college degree to be successful. I'm not saying that, but I don't really have I don't have anything to fall back on. There's no other, career at this point really that I could go into and, you know, make the same amount of income that I do.
Do you have to love what you do to do it as well as you do?
Yes, I think that you do. I mean, there's bad days, you know, bad moments, there's all those things, but that's just life. I mean, that's the way it is. So, you know, nobody promises unicorns and butterflies. This is it. So,
what's the hardest part about the job, Shelley?
Well, for me, honestly, the hardest part is, this is going to sound horrible, but I am very much a person who is very like focused and on getting the job done, right? And so every transaction is a job to get done. And so I am very good at getting my job done. What I'm bad at, I think, is staying in touch as well as I should with my, you know, database, my past clients, that kind of thing. So that's something that I'm really trying to focus and work on because that is where I, you know, kind of fall down on the job, I think.
So how do you, well, again, I think that, you know, there's going to be people listening to this going, oh, hang on a second. You do significantly more real estate than anybody else. Uh-huh. You know, like again, I'm going to throw this out there. You would, if you're not number one, you're number two or number three in Central Oregon. And if you're not in the top 10 for Oregon full stop for the entire state, then I'd eat my hat. Okay. You know, you'd be very close to the very top of that. So I guess that said, is that, Shelley, how have you built a business to the element of what you've built it now when you think that that's a deficiency in your business?
Right. So I think, I have an interesting business in that a lot of the business that I do is new construction. And so a lot of my clients are builders. So do I stay in touch with them? Absolutely, because we have an ongoing relationship, right? I mean, they're constantly building houses and I'm, you know, listing those homes and selling those homes and all that. And that's great. So that's easy for me to kind of keep that relationship going, right? Because we're always sort of in front of each other. Where I fall down, I feel like, are on the other clients that I have. So let's say I sell a buyer that I met in an open house, that new home that the builder has built, well, then I don't do a great job of then staying in touch with that buyer and sort of creating that client for life at that point. And so that's where I really, and I've been working on it, but that's really where I needed to kind of concentrate some efforts.
What are you doing? Like, what are some concentrated efforts that you're doing at the moment for those that are out there that are at the infancy of their career at the moment and they need to be conscious of this when they first start? Is that what would you suggest them doing?
So I think, I mean, it's really important to have a database that's outside of just your contacts and your phone, because honestly, forever and ever and ever, that's what mine was just my contacts in my phone. And so
can I stop you there for a minute? Like, I have to tell this story because I was one of those moments where I'm like, my God, this lady could literally sell $1 billion in GCI of fees. If she did, Shelley, where's your database? And she literally does this for anyone watching. Yeah. She literally holds up her phone and goes, it's right here.
Yeah. Right here.
No, yeah. But like what CRM are you using? What?
Nope. I got nothing.
Excel?
Nothing. Yeah.
And folks, you've obviously listened to the beginning of this. Shelley is a significant agent, as I like to say, double titanium at least. I think that this is one of the things where I want to make a clear point here, Shelley, is that anybody that says that they don't have the right tools, processes, and all that in place is simply making an excuse, really.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
It's easier to refine. It's easy to start from the beginning and use all of that stuff. There's no question about it.
Right.
But if you get too digged into that detail, I think that's just going to get in the way.
I agree. And that's something that I think agents always have to remind themselves of, is to get out of their own way. I know I have to do that for sure. So, I mean, my phone system has served me well. Obviously it has. But I do think sometimes about, you know, how much have I kind of left on the table by not really being as organized and systematic as, you know, I could have been. So I'm working on that. I've got a great team now. I've got Justin and Whitney, and they're helping me. And so we're getting that kind of put together. Those last 2 years have been a struggle because of just drinking out of a fire hose like we did during COVID. But this year we have the time, we have the three of us are working in sync well together and all that. So we can now have the time to get that done.
Yeah. Okay. So when you say get that done, you're just putting processes in place that is going to capture the people's information to then create clients for life through touch points.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think that, it's not rocket science. It's not super hard. It's all of those different things. But the other thing that I really want to get a bit of an insight to from your volume of business, because your business is predominantly, I think we went through these numbers the other week, I think it's 80% listings.
Yeah.
I think last year was 80% listings. The year before that, I think it was even more maybe. But the nature of what you get to see is then a lot of buyer's agents on the other side of deals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's easy to talk about what people do right. I think we get better context of what people do wrong. What do you see a buyer's agent do wrong on the other side of a transaction, Shelley?
Well, I think first of all, they need to not be a part-time agent. That's like the biggest thing. So, you know, if you're a part-time agent, then you're just not going to fully understand the environment that you find yourself in or that your buyer finds themselves in. And so I think that's kind of the first thing for me. And then beyond that, how do they get in their way? I mean, you know, I think a lot of times buyer's agents can feel like, not always, but sometimes can feel like they don't have to communicate very well with the listing agent. And I always really try to encourage a lot of communication, because I think that a lot of problems or hiccups in the transaction can be avoided by just having clear communication.
And constant communication.
Yes, absolutely.
I know that I'm sort of just taking over a little bit here in this comment, but I want to talk about something that you do and that you've mentioned in the past that I think really needs to resonate with the listeners here. It's to do with your sellers and communicating with your sellers. You might not have something to communicate with them, but you make an excuse to communicate with them on almost the daily basis.
I do. Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. I mean, I just have to, you know, I just feel it's really important that they know that I am thinking about them, because I am, and I am, I want them to feel like they're taken care of, like, all the time, you know? And so, yeah, it's just really important to reach out, you know, sometimes at night with just really nothing that exciting to say, but it just lets them know that you're there and that you're working and that you're thinking about them.
It's funny. I was sitting, remember that when you and Justin were in the smaller office, just across the catty corner to you now.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on that table out the back there, and I hear you pick up the phone one time, and only because, again, giving myself a pat on the back, it's something that I preached, but, you know, it's been so long since I've ever done it. But, you know, it's funny that you picked up the phone and you would just made a phone call, and it was just like, hey, just letting you know I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was simply that. And like, just letting you know, I'm thinking about you. And you know, you gave him a bit of information, but those words came out of your mouth, and it was legitimately so soothing to even hear that, you know, that, that you could feel that the other people on the other side were like, would just feel completely supported.
Yes. Yeah. That's my, that, I mean, that's really my goal. And I do do that. Like I said before, like through the transaction, you know, I'm really great at that. I just have to remember to then keep that going past the transaction. So that's what I'm working on.
So when it comes to the buyer's agent, I think that communication, I think you've just hit it on the head, is that that's the one thing that over communicate. Just even if you don't have anything to tell the other side, just give them a call and go, hey guys, just wanted to check in, say hello, just know that I'm still alive and everything's still moving forward.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 100%.
So there's a question that might be difficult to answer, is that I've seen people have constant sort of thought process in their head. What do you always think about? I would go as far as to say that by the sounds of it, you're constantly thinking about the listings that you have on the market at the moment and the people that you're currently operating with. Is that fair? Is there a constant little voice? Is there another Shelley inside that's constantly saying that?
Yeah, there's multiple Shelleys. I'm thinking about giving them different names, but I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, I'm constantly thinking about, you know, all the listings that I have and how can I, who could I talk to about it? Who could I, is, you know, who's the agent out there that I can think of that maybe would have a buyer for that? Or, you know, what am I, what do I need to do to tweak it in the marketplace? Do I need to, you know, position the photos differently, rearrange the photos? Do I need to get new photos? Do I need to do different staging? I mean, what do I need to do to constantly keep it kind of fresh and, you know, top of mind to other agents?
Does that get tiring?
Yeah, it's really tiring. I'm tired right now just thinking about it.
Well, that's a good question. Is that what the stamina that you have in your business, Shelley, in order to have the volume that you have? Do you think that you've just gotten used to it?
Yes, I think I'm an adrenaline junkie. I think that's my problem. I think, yeah. I mean, I've got issues. You know, that's a whole other podcast, though. You know.
Oh, geez, the Bleeding Soul podcast. That's the new title of our. Shelley and I are going to start that up and just start unpacking people online.
Yep.
We need tears. We need tantrums. We need everything.
I'm great at tears. Yep.
Anyway, but I think that the thing that I really wanted to sort of round out the conversation, not finish the podcast, because I really want to talk about your evolution with the Garner Group and the office and things along those lines. But to round out your part of being the top performer that you are, let's say that you go back 21 years or 20 years, however long you've been in the business now, and you're talking to yourself as you're first getting into it. What would you tell yourself? What advice would you give? Or maybe it's not advice, maybe something that you'd tell yourself to make you feel a little bit better about where everything's going.
Yeah, boy, that's a really great question. I was lucky in the sense that I, you know, my mom, Sandy, was in real estate, starting in 1979. So I was 13 years old or something, 14 years old. So I saw how hard she worked. I knew how much it would take to be successful in real estate. So I was lucky because I saw that modeled for me. It wasn't always pretty. It wasn't what necessarily I would have wanted, you know, how I would have wanted it to be, but she had to do what she had to do. And that's great. And I'm very grateful for that. And so I knew what it was going to take. And so I'm lucky in that sense, because I never came into this profession thinking that I could just sort of sit back on my laurels and let the business come to me. It was never going to be that way. And I knew it. I knew it from the get-go, you know. And I think a lot of times, you know, agents nowadays are looking for companies and they're asking the question, you know, what kind of leads can you provide for me? And that makes me insane, because there is no better lead generation in the world than you. There's you yourself as a real estate agent, you are the lead generation. And so that is going to be hard effing work, and there's no two ways around it. So I was lucky in that sense. So I didn't, you know, so I guess I would, you know, I mean, I would have said to myself what I knew, and that is that it's going to be hard work and there's no two ways around it.
So brace yourself and get into it. But again, knew that. You knew that.
That's right. Both feet.
Would you talk? Would have you told yourself to enjoy the ride more?
Oh, yeah. That's yes. I definitely would have said that because I'm not good at enjoying. I'm very, you know, like we said before, like I just am always getting the job done. So definitely celebrating wins along the way, I think would have been a really great thing to do. And I did not do enough of that.
Yeah. Well, I guess that outside of your own personal success, Shelley, the thing that you've got in the background of this and some context that I haven't given in the introduction to this episode is the fact that, you know, you went through something from a family perspective where you took over your mum's business. Mm-hmm. And when I say take over, you know, that was, you know, it was a very difficult time for yourself, Erica and Sarah, who are family, to take over another family member's business because, as we all know and as we've dealt with family before, there's probably an heightened sense of what the ownership looked like at the time and what they're handing over. They mm-hmm. believe that it's probably better than what it ultimately is. Mm-hmm. That's probably – how did you – I know that in that period of time, there was a lot of turmoil in your own individual business. And what I mean by that is that you were ready to pack up shop and you were ready to move on and try and go to another brand or leave the brokerage and all of those things. How did you get through that at the time?
That is definitely one of the most difficult and defining time periods in my life. There's no question about it. The way I got through it was I had Erica and Sarah with me and that I got it, you know, that was huge. Erica and I obviously were sisters. So, you know, we've been together forever, but you know, Sarah too, I mean, she's, you know, we're a three-legged stool. You know, that's what we are. So
I got to put it out there to everybody, a three-legged stool that's incredibly well balanced. I've got to be honest. Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's sturdy. But yeah. So that was a really difficult time. But I knew that the three of us could handle it for one thing. I also knew that, you know, we know how to work hard and we know how to, come together and we know how to, you know, inspire and cheerlead and do all those things that we needed to do for the agents that were here. And we didn't lose anybody through that time, not one agent. And so, you know, that including, you know, the owner, Sandy, she stayed too. So, you know, yeah. I mean, we got through it. It was difficult, but you know, that's life and we can do hard things sometimes.
So as that comes into it, you then, so you've gotten through the turbulent period of the purchase itself. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, bam, you, Erica, Sarah, standing there, essentially keys are in your hand.
Yep.
Oh shit. What do we do now?
Yes.
But then Shelley, the evolution of what has happened in the business, I think that you actually stepped up even further and went, all right, let's go. It's time for me to get out there. Let's produce. Yeah. Because the business went from roughly $2.5 million of GCI to now in excess of $10 million of GCI. And, right. you know, you're opening up your next offices, all of that type of stuff.
Right.
So the evolution of that, for everybody to give context, has been an incredible ride. And it's actually been a pretty short period of time that that's all happened in context to your real estate career, really.
Right.
Is that when it comes down to standing there, you, Sarah, and Erica looking at each other and going, oh dear, now mm-hmm. what? Yeah. What did you do? What was the plan? Was there any process from there?
It was what we knew we had to do when we became owners of this business was really like double down on the culture. We knew culture was going to be our number one, number one thing that would get us through that period of time and onward. I mean, forever, you know, culture is our number one thing. Even though we've hired more agents, I think we had 13 agents when we started and now we're up to, I think there's around 50, mm-hmm. You know, all through that time though, culture has remained the number one thing that we really stand on. we will not hire anyone that does not fit in our culture. We just won't do it because it's too precious to us.
The rhythm of your business is phenomenal. And I want to talk about that a little bit more because there might be people behind the scenes here rolling their eyes at the word culture. You know, you and I have rolled our eyes previously at culture until we understood
how you have.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think that the part of this that people need to understand though, Shelley, is that you've got a business where your average GCI for your agent out of 50 odd agents is $300,000 mm-hmm. GCI. Like that, just for anybody that's not in the real estate industry listening, that is so significant. Mm-hmm. And your average sale price, whilst that's increased over time because your market's grown and whatever it may be, it was $500,000-$600,000 there at one point in your individual market. From a Central Oregon perspective, it was $400,000. That's a lot of transactions. Yeah. But the people that have joined you, all of them have grown with you. And we did the statistics the other day is that for 3 years, you guys have not lost anybody in a transient real estate industry.
Yeah. Yep.
What would you say to anybody that ever questioned the word culture or rhythm or environment?
Well, I would say that if you think culture is not the most important thing, then you're just lazy.
Oh, that's good.
Because snapshot it is. That. There's no two ways around it.
I'm just making a note for Chris. Chris, just make sure you snapshot that and we'll throw it out everywhere. That's perfect.
Yeah.
But like, do you think people just put that environment, that cultural element of things into the too hard because they just don't know how to do it and it's too awkward?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I'm kind of coming at this from an interesting place because I have never worked anywhere else. I've always been a part of the Garner Group. You know, yes, we started out with what, 5 or 6 of us and we were all family and we've grown from there. So I've never worked really at a different company, although we did start at Coldwell Banker when I first started. And what I saw at, you know, in that company sort of, you know, at large was a very competitive kind of backstabbing kind of thing, you know, that we knew we never, ever wanted to be a part of. And we never have. We have never let that become a part of our business. We are here to support each other. We all want every one of us here wants everybody to do well. Mm-hmm. If everybody's, if one person's doing well, then we're all doing well. And that is the, that is what we live by. I mean, it just is. If we are going to get competitive and we're going to do that backstabbing thing, then, you know, why even own this business? Why even do that? Because it's just going to fall apart. And it's just not how we do it.
How would you say, because the thing I mentioned before is that you've got significant performers in your office. Everybody is very committed. It's a very different environment to be in. It's a very different feel to be in. Do you think that was there a thought process? Because Shelley, you are the top performer. And again, I don't mean to be rude about this. You're the top performer by a long way within your office. Yeah. Do you think that high tides raise all boats, if you know what I mean? Is that what's happened in your environment? Is that is it by default or was it by design?
No, I really think it was by design. I mean, yes, I do think that that's what happens. You know, I mean, I help set an example. I mean, along with Eric and Sarah, it's not just me by any stretch, but
of course.
For the agents, you know, they see me, you know, hopefully working hard, doing, you know, the right thing. I feel like that's like my job is to help them understand how much work it's going to be, maybe how to deal with different situations, you know, all those kinds of things. I leave my door open for the most part so people can hear me just talk on the phone. Because I benefited from that when we first started and I heard Sandy talk on the phone, you know, so I think that's really important. And I, you know, have there been instances in this office where a couple of agents have been up for the same listing? Yes, that happens. There's no doubt about it. But nobody gets bitter or mad or anything else. We just try to, you know, help that person succeed. Whoever ended up getting a listing, let's help them get it done. Or sometimes we've had agents partner up on things, or, you know, there's different ways to do it. It doesn't have to become, backstabby and cutthroat. It just doesn't have to be that.
We don't want it. We don't want to be involved in environments that are like that. Nobody does. No. And that's probably why the real estate industry has such turnover when it comes to the transient nature of it all. But I guess that in closing this out, you're one of the most curious people that I've ever met, Shelley, in the sense that I've done probably 5 million training sessions in front of you, but yet you will be sitting there, you will be writing notes, you'll be listening, you'll be absorbing, you'll be doing all of those things. You still come to conference every year, you still are in the business owner space, you're still all of those curiosities. How do you stay so curious?
Well, because I think that there's always room for improvement. There's always room for learning. I don't have all the answers by any stretch, and I am really just very grateful to have those opportunities to, sit in with other business owners or, listen to you do a class or whatever it is, I think that's part of our job too, honestly. Nobody has it all figured out. And about the minute you think you do, it will come crashing down. So you might as well stay humble.
There's one final cherry on top that I want to give people is because if they're a frequent listener to Rethink Real Estate, they've experienced Julia Gentry, who's, our mindset sort of coach, our growth coach. You were the one to introduce me to Julia. And your environment, your office, you had Julia do some work with you guys, and you really enjoyed the mindset coaching side of the business, which I think is a real big essence. There's one thing that Julia has helped you guys focus on is the culture and understanding how to articulate that. Yep. But then it's also the mindset side of the business that you provide your agents, not just skill set training.
Right.
How has that work impacted what you do or your outlook on what you do?
Well, I think that it has, it's really has helped to sort of kind of crystallize our vision. I mean, we had an overarching vision when we first started this business and we knew what we wanted this company to be. But what Julia helps bring is some clarity and some language and some things like that, that you just kind of need in the day to day, And so it helps so much, Erica, myself and Sarah, the three of us, it helped us work better together, which was a huge thing. But it also helps us to understand the agents better and, and they kind of helps them understand us better and where we're coming from. And so I just feel like that work that we've done with Julia and that we continue to do, because we still do it, is really one of the most critical things that we've done, honestly.
It's interesting how it's not a snazzy script or something like that, or a certain type of sales training or whatever it may be. It's something that's more philosophical than that. And to those people that cringe about that stuff that are listening, I certainly was that person. Uh-huh. And you guys have proven that approach is so sustainable for the business. And it's what the real estate industry doesn't offer, I believe, and what it misses.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%.
Shelley, thank you for joining us on Rethink Real Estate. It's been a delight as always.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks.
So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us, and it would help this podcast more than to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.